Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dhanuka Agritech Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Warm welcome to all the participants on the 1Q FY24 earnings call of Dhanuka Agritech. From the management, we have Mr. N.K. Dhanuka, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Dhanuka, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Harsh Dhanuka, Executive Director, Alliances and Supply Chain, and Mr. V.K. Bansal, CFO, on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. N.K. Dhanuka for opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to Mr. N.K. Dhanuka.
Thank you, Mr. Manish. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Myself, N.K. Dhanuka, Vice Chairman and Managing Director of Dhanuka Agritech Limited. I hope all of you are doing well. Thank you for joining us in the conference call for results of Q1 FY23-24. I have with me Mr. Rahul Dhanuka, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Harsh Dhanuka, Executive Director, and Mr. V.K. Bansal, CFO of the company. Dhanuka Agritech is a leading agrochemical company in India focusing on branded sales in the market. The company's strength lies in manufacturing and marketing of formulated products. The product portfolio is spread across insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, and plant growth promoters. Dhanuka Agritech is working with the vision of transforming India through agriculture. Our belief is that means when we transform the lives of farmers by enhancing their productivity and quality, and in turn enhancing their income, we are making a small contribution in transforming India. We work in all major crops in India and have implemented the best-in-class technology to ensure a smooth and efficient supply chain. Dhanuka has a pan-India presence through its marketing team and warehouses in all major states across India. With 3 manufacturing units and 41 warehouses across India, we cater to around 6,500 distributors and dealers and around 80,000 retailers. Through this extensive network, Dhanuka reaches out to approximately 10 million Indian farmers with its products and services. Dhanuka has more than 1,000 techno-commercial staff supported by a strong sales and marketing team to promote and develop new products. Dhanuka's strong R&D division has world-class NABL-accredited laboratory as well as an excellent team for new product registration and development. Dhanuka has international collaboration with 10 leading global agrochemical companies from the U.S., Japan, and Europe, which help us to introduce the latest technology in India. Recently, we have established a modern R&D facility with a research farm in Haryana for faster development and commercialization of new products. Delay in the arrival of the monsoon led to rain deficit up to mid-June and affected the performance of all agrochemical companies, including Dhanuka. However, the good news is that good rains since last week of June have supported in catching up the demand of agrochemicals over last 5 weeks, especially in case of herbicides. The degrowth of first quarter has been converted into positive growth in July month. The sowing of rice, cotton, and oilseed has also gained momentum after a slow start. The planting is still lagging behind in pulses, which are down by about 10% in acreages. Now, moving on to financial performance for the last quarter, our revenue from operations stood at rupees 369.07 crores in Q1 of FY 23-24 versus rupees 392.73 crores in Q1 of FY 22-23. EBITDA stood at rupees 43.61 crores in Q1 of FY 23-24 versus rupees 68.33 crores in Q1 of FY 22-23. Profit after tax stood at rupees 32.94 crores in Q1 of FY 23-24 versus rupees 49.11 crores in Q1 of FY 22-23. Last year, Dhanuka had rupees 12 crores other income from sale of real estate, due to which the PAT was higher in last year in comparison to the current financial year of first quarter. The zone-wise percentage share of turnover for Q1 FY 22-23 is North India 30%, East India 9%, West India highest 41%, and South India 20%. Product category-wise share of turnover for Q1 of FY 23-24: insecticides 27%, fungicides 10%, herbicides highest 54%. More than half sales is coming only from herbicides, because initially the consumption is of herbicides, and other 9%. The shareholders of the company in the 38th annual general meeting held today at 11 a.m. declared the final dividend of 100%, that is rupees 2 per equity share, having face value of rupees 2 per share. The company has already rewarded its equity shareholders with buyback of 10 lakh equity shares at the rate of rupees 850 per equity share, absorbing rupees 85 crores plus income tax. Dhanuka have introduced new molecules, Implode, a maize herbicide, Mesotrax, a herbicide for maize and sugar cane, Defend, an insecticide for paddy BPS, and 6 biological projects. It is expected that these new introductions will add good volumes in the top line of the company. Next, I would like to share the progress on our technical plan at Dahej. While final production is delayed by 1 month and now expected in third week of August, I am excited to share that we have entered the final phase of trials with commencement of steam trials at the unit. This was only possible with the continuous efforts of the team to obtain all necessary government approvals, leading to successful initiation of boiler operations last week. As shared earlier, we will start the production with bifenthrin technical and will soon add lambda psi halothrin technical as well. We are expecting a combined production of around 350 metric tons in the current financial year, with annual production capacity at around 600 metric tons. The new plant will support Dhanuka in our long-term business objective and revenue growth, because there is huge potential for exports from India. You must be aware that India has become now the second largest country in agrochemical exports, leaving USA behind. After China, India exported $5.5 billion agrochemicals this year, while the US exports were $5.4 billion. So that way India has become the second largest exporter of agrochemicals. We consider ourselves responsible towards securing the farmers' welfare and preserving food security of the nation. We continue to strengthen our association with the Farmer Producer Organization, Krishi Vigyan Kendra, and other critical institutions to increase our business expertise and boost our market presence. Thank you very much for your kind attention. We would now like to open the forum to take the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Preet Malde from Centra Insights. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. I just wanted to know our inventory levels for this quarter.
Inventory level is around 395 crore.
395 crores, okay. And what is our net working capital days right now?
Net working capital is generated by 4 days. As compared to the first quarter of the previous year, excluding current investment is 152 days.
Sorry?
152 days.
152 days. Okay. And have we seen sales returns in this quarter?
Sales returns is general phenomena in the industry. And when the reduction in the prices trend continues, the distributors are having inventory of higher rates and they have the tendency to return the products which they have purchased at higher rates and then buy back the products at the current market rates which are lower. So that's why it's a normal phenomena and all the basically companies are taking back the goods from the dealers and distributors. In this quarter also, the goods return has increased because of the trend of reducing prices. We hope that the same should be normalized in the second quarter because now the trend is either increase in the prices or the prices are stagnant. Reduction has basically stopped now.
Okay, so you're saying that the sales returns for this quarter has increased. Can you quantify, can you give me a number?
Yeah, you see sales return has increased substantially as against around 14 crore is around 24 crores.
Okay. I think that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. So just wanted to get your sense on the outlook as you see it today for the rest of the year, particularly for Q2. And just wanted to also hear your perspective in terms of how did this quarter that just went by, how did it pan out for you? Because from what we understand, is that there was significant inventory lying in the channel, and in that context, you guys have done relatively far superior. So, just wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Thank you so much for the compliment that you have done far superior with -6%. we really don't feel so. So, superiority is obviously subjective.
Yes.
Now, the outlook till June was actually not very positive, at least till mid-June was not positive. And IMD forecast and the global forecast around El Nino was actually panning out the way it was. However, July gave us a turnaround and July has been really good in terms of both volume and value. So volume has certainly shown a turnaround in July. Value is also, like MD sir said, is now stabilizing. The outlook for August is looking really bright and the groundwater is recharged, commodity prices are good. Channel inventory has eased out in the month of July. Prices have either stabilized or showing an upward trend. Supplies are stiffening. All these are positive signs for August to be performing really good. And going forward, with the groundwater and commodity prices being in tow, I think so we are looking at a great Q2, and that should prevail for rest of the year.
Sure, and from what I could gauge is you're not expecting any significant returns, right? Or whatever had to come in must have already been captured in the reported results, correct?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Couple of questions. First is, if you could just give some perspective on the inventory for us in the channel, and how does it compare for the industry? If we have to compare to a normal environment.
Right. So inventory in the channel in the year beginning was high, and the channel was wary of taking any more inventory in Q1. That's how I believe Q1 results would have gone down for the rest of the industry also. For us, it was negative 6%. However, July gave a real big bump to liquidation and consumption at the farmer end. So the inventory at the end of Q1 would have been reasonably there. However, by end of July, the inventory levels have come down significantly.
So when you say significantly, would it be compared to what a normal environment would be? Say, you know, at the end of March, typically
what? Normal environment, because Q1, the uptake from the channel was pretty low.
Okay, because the reason I'm asking is that it's not just the Q4, but even before that, there was already a build-up, considerable build-up in the channel. And the consumption at the farmer level either way was very low in Kharif last year and then Rabi, because the infestation itself was not that high. So hence, I was just trying to understand, you know, where are we when compared to a normal? Second question was largely on the gross margin. So I understand there is some return back increase of 10 crore. But if I have to just understand our gross margin, so if I have to compare versus what we used to do earlier, the margins are still at the lower end. So other than this high cost inventory impact, is there any other factor which is driving this?
You see, large factor was the return, goods return, and the high value inventory was liquidated in the Q1, and some impact was because of product mix. But however, as we shared earlier in the our May month call, we are very much hopeful that this year our gross margin should see a good improvement. So from July, the things have changed, and we are sure that in Q2 you will see a good improvement in our gross margins.
So if I were just understand the portfolio mix part, earlier, many years back, our share of portfolio, specialty portfolio used to be two-thirds of the mix. If I look at 23 or even say for Q1, what would that be like?
It is almost similar, but you see, within the same portfolio, there is a shift of products. Some products are having good margins, some are less, and because of the inventory prices, at one particular year, the margin is less and more. So within the same category, there is a change in the basically in the product mix basically. So the high margin product volume is not great in quarter one of this year as compared to the previous year.
So, but you know, if you just a last follow up on this, if you look at the ITI index, it's close to 20%. It's the highest been for last many years, and typically the new generation products, they give you the best contribution margins. So despite that, the gross margin is at the lower end. Hence, I was just trying to understand, is some erosion in base business, base molecule, is that quite significant, or, you know, just trying to understand the reasons behind it.
Because of that, we are able to maintain the gross margin as compared to the previous year. Otherwise, there could be a case of little hit in the gross margins. ITI index, the product which is having a good margin in that category, has really helped us.
Okay, I'll come back. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Before we move on to the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Siddharth Gadekar from Equirius. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. So just one clarification on, in terms of this quarter, how would you relate the performance to the farmer's income, and how do we see that shaping up going ahead, given that we have seen a significant drop in input prices also now in the domestic market? Secondly, in terms of the realization decline, do we expect any significant declines even in the second quarter?
Actually, your both the questions are not clear to me. Could you repeat the first one in reference to farmer income?
The performance in this quarter, was it mainly related to the weather-related issues and high channel inventory, or was it more to do with the farmer income, one? Secondly, in the second quarter, we will see even further price declines, or how should we look at the realizations going ahead?
Okay. So let me take the second one first. So price decline is appearing to be, you know, stabilizing now. So price decline appears to getting arrested. Maybe few products are showing a uptick also. So that's about price decline expectations in Q2. Now talking about farmer income, so we saw tomato prices rocking the parliament and various other assemblies all over the country. Various other commodity prices have also been on a high. Government had to come in and ban the export of all non-basmati rice, which is again an indicator of how the food availability and commodity prices in general would, commodity availability in general would be behaving. Now, farm income is dependent upon various factors. One is of course the input cost. Another is the commodity prices and commodity availability. So in general, commodities are expected to be on a positive side, and agriculture, agrochemical as a cost of input is a significantly lower percentage. That is not going to impact the farm income significantly. At Dhanuka, our specialized products actually help the farmers save on labor cost, save on upgrade their productivity, and also upgrade the quality of their produce. So that way our products are not about the cost centricity, they are about the value centricity for the farmer. And at Dhanuka we are committed to increase the value for the farmer significantly.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rohit Nagaraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on our new project for synthetic pyrethroids. We have mentioned that it's going to start commercial production from August, and about 350 metric tons of order or production is what we are looking for this year. Based on the current pricing environment, what will it translate to in terms of revenues? And when we are saying that our growth guidance for this year is about 10%, does it include the income from the exports as well, this project as well? Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Raviji. The revenue objective from this production from the synthetic pyrethroid plant is about 50 crores for this year. And when we talk about the annual forecast, it does not include the revenue from the Dahej.
Got it. That's clear. Second question is, in terms of Q1 performance, what was the volume growth and value probably decrease on a YOY basis?
Yeah, the volume growth, it was around negative 3.5%. So the, you see the difference between volume and value is around 2.5%.
Okay, so the value was down by about 2.5% and volume was about 3.5%.
Yeah.
Right. Just one last clarification. During last quarter in Q4, we had mentioned that we had done some placements probably slightly prior to the period. So was there any impact because of those placements instead of coming in Q1, were shifted to Q4 of last quarter?
I think there is no such impact.
Okay. Right. Got it. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and good evening. So we would like to understand in terms of the inventory impact, what would be the inventory loss you would have taken in first quarter?
You see, I think that could be in the range of around 1% sort of, 1.5% approximately.
Okay, so 1.5% of the decline is from there. Okay, so if you're looking at the second quarter, in terms of the placement with channel and the actual consumption from farmers, what is the trend you saw in the first quarter, and how do you see the actual consumption from farmers increasing in the second quarter? Can you give us some color on that? Because there's a lot of concern about the placements not happening because of the reluctance of farmers to buy. So are we behind, is that phase behind us? And do we see the consumption by farmers encouraging the trade to lift material? And how do we see that, in terms of the placement as well as the consumption?
So Q1, we witnessed a lower consumption from the farmer, and that's why a lower uptake by the channel also. However, in Q2, beginning in July with good rains, there has been huge uptake from the farmer across the country and across all the crops and across all the geographies. So the consumption level has really gone up in the month of July. We hope to see this trend continue for almost entire Q2 with good rainfalls and good groundwater, good reservoir waters. The agriculture is going to be on a rebound in Q2 as compared to Q1. We have also witnessed this in terms of the sowing data all over India. Sowing data was lagging far behind by the end of Q1. Whereas in the month of July, we have seen sowing not only catching up, but actually exceeding. So all those are positive indicators for agri input consumption.
So in terms of your gross margins and financial performance, based on this improvement in consumption, how do you see that compared to first quarter? Will there be an improvement in margins? Obviously, the top line will grow, but is there any sacrifice in margins in second quarter? Because of the lag effect of, the ability to pass on prices at good cost, or will the margins improve?
Yes, definitely. We are absolutely hopeful the Q2 margins will improve.
Okay. So broader question in terms of the concern about China dumping material and the overall supply chain for the industry, both in India and overseas. So are we at the bottom in terms of price correction, and have we seen the worst in terms of the inventory and supply unloading from China, or will that continue for some time?
Well, it seems that we touched a bottom in many products with concern about price correction. Yet, I don't know, this dumping of finished products from China is practically not possible because that is a significantly regulated industry. And Central Insecticide Board and the registration process really controls who is able to bring that, which also acts as an economic barrier for any dumping in the country. So having said that, there could be a scope of price correction for few more products, but mostly we are seeing price stabilization, and some products are even demonstrating some price increase. Some products are getting challenged on the availability side. So all those indicators are positive and favorable when it comes to the price and probably the gross margin going up.
So one last related question. So in terms of supply chain for intermediates and AIs, you are well placed in terms of availability, and the Chinese situation is not going to impact the supply of materials for the growth of the industry.
Yeah, I think so. India is well placed on that front.
Thank you very much and wish you all the best. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Richa Agarwal from Equimaster. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. My question is regarding the Dahej plant. I think you said 50 crore kind of revenue we expect this year. Just wanted to know, will it contribute to margins positively this year? And do you expect utilization by next year? And if yes, then what kind of revenue potential do we expect there? Revenue and margin on full utilization.
Yes. So if you look at the gross margins from the Dahej technical plant, in this year we'll expect some contribution at the gross profit level. If we talk about the next year, we can see anywhere we are expecting the plant to be at 80% capacity in next year. And that would lead us in the revenue around 80 to 100 crores from the existing plant.
Okay. And so let's say it takes two more years to come to, I mean, is it a fair assumption first to, let's say it takes two more years. What kind of margins do you expect from this? I know some part is captive consumption, but, you know, whatever incremental revenues that we get, any guidance or idea on that?
See, over 2 years, we are looking at some further capex on the plant for establishing more production capacity. And it will depend on the market forces at the time, as currently the market forces are completely unfavorable. But over next 2 years, as the prices are now already stabilizing, and we expect the prices to improve, over next 2 years, definitely the margin profile will improve.
Okay. And so every quarter, your mix, between herbicide and fungicide, etc., keeps changing. I just wanted to understand that, is there any particular category that has high margins that you would like to contribute more? If you could just give us a, you know, ascending order of margin profile of the mix that you have.
India is predominantly a insecticide market, and in terms of the generics offerings from Dhanuka and from the industry is significantly higher on the insecticide front. However, Dhanuka has been able to create a niche over last few years with our various Japanese collaboration, and we have introduced many specialty herbicides and its variants. For example, Targa Super, Sakura, Campa, Terminal, Dozo Max, and so on. Then we introduced Sampra. Last year we have introduced Cornex. We are introducing Tizom this year, which is another herbicide for sugarcane. So our entire portfolio on the front of herbicides has become extremely strong, specialized, targeting specific crops and specific problems, which gives us a very different leverage in the market vis-a-vis competition. In general, I don't think so we can categorize margins based on insecticide, fungicide or herbicide as categories. These margins are dependent more about individual product and the competition therein rather than the category itself.
Okay. And sir, there's a significant increase in, you know, ITI index. So do you expect to maintain it at these levels, like it's up from around 13 to 19%? And assuming that, you know, you didn't have the challenges related to inventory, what kind of margin expansion do you expect because of this? If this can be sustained?
So ITI index is outcome of years of effort in terms of trying getting original registrations and good products, sustainable products from our principal companies from Japan. So it is this outcome which is playing out favorably in the interest of the farmer and for the organization also. We really hope that our efforts will be playing colorfully with our new products coming in back to back and commercializing faster, which will also give a boost to the margins overall.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Darshita from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question regarding the export business. What kind of revenue did we see in the first quarter from export, if any, and what kind of contribution are we seeing for the full year from export business?
In the first quarter, export was. Sorry. Yes, Harish, continue.
Okay. So in fourth quarter, I think you asked first. Fourth quarter, the contribution was less. In first quarter, there has been demand challenges in the international market for our products. For the entire financial year 2023-24, we are expecting revenue of about 30 crores, but that is already included in the revenue guidance given earlier.
All right. And this will largely be of the formulation portfolio that we have, or would it also consider the bifenthrin and lambda that you plan on manufacturing?
So this is part of the formulated products. The bifenthrin and lambda technical export opportunity is over and above this.
All right. So are we expecting any of that in FY24, or it would largely the off-take would be in FY25?
No, of course, we are expecting good revenue from exports from the technical plant as well.
All right. So I mean, we've had any so are we looking at just Nepal, Bangladesh, these regions, or are we looking at any others? I mean, have we received registrations from any other regions for bifenthrin, firstly? And secondly, I mean, do we have any discussions going on with any of the counterparts in those regions for selling bifenthrin over there?
So as of now, I cannot share any specific geographies, but we are looking beyond the neighboring countries, and we are looking at opportunities in different countries across the world.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Himanshu Binani from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. So, sir, thank you for taking my question. So my question was largely on the commentary which you made in terms of better growth which you witnessed during the month of July. So just wanted to have a sense in terms of which zone has been contributing to this sort of growth, because the question behind asking this and the reason basically behind asking this is when I actually look into the last 5 years, second quarter performance, so it is the West India which has contributed to a high chunk of the overall revenues. And what we have been seeing in the recent past is that the West India has been going through some sort of adverse climatic condition in terms of heavy rains, etc. So how should actually one look into the second quarter and the performance, particularly from the Western India during the second quarter?
Yeah. Thank you. Actually, good rainfall is mostly appreciated in agriculture because it contributes to the upgradation of groundwater. It upgrades the irrigation system. It upgrades the wells, reservoirs, and it substitutes for the irrigation by the farmer in its field. Heavy rains do cause damage to life and property, but mostly in urban and marginalized areas in urban communities. These damages are mostly caused by uprooting of trees and such. Now, agriculture relatively is not so damaged because the water gets absorbed in the soil and is also drained out relatively faster. This rainfall, actually, the way we look at it is, as the water recedes, is going to be favorable for Kharif, which is the second quarter, as well as for Rabi, which is the third and the fourth quarter. This is going to play out favorably in entire West India, Central India, and also in the Southern Peninsula and North, where it has rained favorably for almost all the crops.
Got it. Because, sir, one follow basically regarding this only. So what we have been like reading in terms of like the government recently banning the non-basmati exports also, and the reason behind that was we have like witnessed some sort of like crop losses, particularly in the Western India due to the higher rainfall. So
I didn't come across this news.
So
that Western India does not contribute towards paddy production in the country. Madhya Pradesh is the largest paddy producer, and that's basmati.
So because the news article, what it was stating is that there has been like some sort of like heavy rains into the eastern UP belt, and then there has been like rainfall into Punjab, Haryana, which in turn has like resulted into this sort of action.
Yeah, so let me link up all these dots together. So the ban on non-basmati paddy is because government expects global food constraint. Global food constraint coming out of the grains embargo being broken between Russia and Ukraine. So if you would have followed that news, Russia had allowed grains export from Ukraine. And there was that treaty which has now been broken. So that treaty no longer exists, and Ukraine is not able to ship out wheat and other agriculture produce, which will lead to food shortage globally sooner or later. Now, we don't want our country to be falling in the trap of food shortage, and that's the reason government has put a ban on non-basmati export. That's one. And North India saw some good rainfall. You are aware that good rainfall is actually beneficial for paddy crop unless it damages with its high speed and flow. So that has not happened in Punjab, that has not happened in Haryana. So that rainfall has actually been good for paddy. When we talk about the western part, the heavy rainfall has caused some damage to cotton, soybean and groundnut in the parts of Gujarat and Maharashtra. That losses actually are recoverable and are going to turn out to be favorable for the farmers in Gujarat and Maharashtra. Maharashtra is also the catchment area for dams and rivers in Karnataka. So this is going to be favorable, significantly favorable for Karnataka agriculture also. So overall, these rainfalls are going to give a boost to the agriculture production in the country. The crop damages are there. They are relatively in smaller pockets. The impacted farmer is certainly there, and government should be creating a mechanism to reach out and support such impacted farmers. Agriculture in general, country in general, stands to benefit.
Got it, sir. And so one last question basically from my side, and that would be largely regarding the inventory position. So maybe you can comment anything on the zone-wise inventory position in the country as on like July end.
Well, July end would be a tricky place because it's just ended. We have not even breathed in that part. However, across the country, the consumption has been on a high in the month of July. So I think so, whatever inventory, the channel was inventory shy in Q1, but in July, it has been a fast movement coming in and getting consumed. So I think so, the inventory levels in the channel shouldn't be very high by July end. Actually, channel is asking for more material and a speed with which industry cannot service.
So maybe any color on the zone-wise inventory level?
I don't think so. We have that now. Not now.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I had one question. We have been looking for some tie-up with Japanese companies for our technical plant. If we can share any update on that, where are we?
Not now. We can't share any update now. At the right time, we will.
Okay. Without any update, but what sort of association are we looking with from them, if something on that front can be shared?
See, I think so. This would be a larger question in terms of how the chemical industry globally is behaving. So if you'll be aware, you know, few European countries have given out a mandate to their chemical and other industries to necessarily establish a China plus one supply chain. Now that directive is going to be really favorable for chemical industry in general in the country, supported by various government initiatives, including PLI. So I think so, this question of yours in terms of Japan, Europe, America, looking at India as a chemical manufacturing hub is a more bigger opportunity rather than the kind of opportunity or we classifying the type of opportunity that we are working on. So that classification would probably just be very limiting.
Sure. And is it possible that, you know, many of those multinationals are already operating in India? So rather than asking the Indian entity of those multinationals to expand the business, they associate incrementally from here on with companies like us or any other company?
Yes and no, because yes, many entities are existing in India, but you would be following various other chemical companies' prices and yields, the way they are behaving on the share market and otherwise. So anybody's guess on what side this is headed?
Sure. Any outer timeline which you can share for this?
Not on this one. I think so. This would also be restricted in terms of what we can share.
Right. Thank you from my. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rohit Nagaraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for the follow-up. So just one clarification on the China front. So we've been hearing from competitors as well as from the industry that in the last few months, the ingress of Chinese agrochemicals is also significant. What is your perspective in the recent times, whether that particular phenomena has stopped in the month of July or whether it has reduced significantly? And an allied question to that, we also hear that in the last one and a half years, there have been a good amount of capacity additions in the generic market in China. So does that have any threat to any of our products in the portfolio? Thank you.
May I ask you which companies are giving this news? no need to answer that one. Yeah, so China is global chemical factory. China is the
one. Yeah, sorry.
So China is the largest manufacturer of dyes, pigments, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, agrochemicals, and in all domains and directions, which is, and the import and consumption in India for agrochemicals has been pretty high and has been growing. China has become an important supplier of agrochemicals and intermediates for India. That is how it is in the current context. Agrochemical import is a licensed business and is regulated by through registrations by Central Insecticide Board. So only registered entities can bring in their products in the country, which takes about 6 to 7 years to get one registration on that front also. So that continues unabated. That opens up the opportunity for us when we are setting up the Dahej plant that we can be producing various intermediates and technical grade products to substitute that import. So that's actually an opportunity. So, and China capacities on the brand side are only favorable because that offers us competitive edge in terms of pricing, and with the brand footing that we have in the market, we are able to create that value for the farmer.
All right, got it, sir. So just one question on the exports business. So on the synthetic pyrethroids, on a steady state basis, what is the margins that we are looking at? I mean, when the pricing normalizes, when we reach, say, optimal utilization for the plant, what are the operating margins that we are, you know, penciling in? Thank you.
Yeah, I believe once the prices are stabilized and with the current portfolio only, we can expect a gross margin in the range of 20 to 25%.
And at the EBITDA level?
EBITDA level for the current financial year would be negative, but over a period of time, definitely the EBITDA should be positive in next two to three years.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, question is on procurement of some of the raw materials which we were earlier also doing from China, or also we buy a lot of material from the Indian players as well. With the significant dumping done by the Chinese players, I think that the even domestic market have also been under pressure. I mean, I'm talking about the material supplier for you. So have we resumed to increasing our sourcing from China, or the pricing there is right now still better than the Indian sources, or Indian sources are still matching up the prices of the Chinese manufacturers? If you can just give some sense on them.
I heard this before also in the call about dumping from China. This is something not understood by me. What is this dumping by China? Okay.
So I mean, sir, definitely they're selling the product at a much below cost, or just because of the inventory liquidation, they have offered the many product at a much below prices what Indian players probably could match, and that's what the Chinese players have been able to push the inventory system.
Right. So that's certainly been an advantage on that front, that we get competitive products from China most of the times. So Indian capacities for various products are actually now coming up in a very strategic way. So our procurement from India has only grown, and also our procurement from China remains the way it is.
Okay, so my question was basically, yes, over a period of time we have increased our sourcing from India. But we are an asset-light business model and we depend more on the raw material suppliers, supplies from others. So just wanted to understand, in last 6 months, have we increased our sourcing from China more, or is the Chinese prices are still at a discounted rate than the Indian players could otherwise have provided you?
Chinese prices are now increasing gradually. So there has been, we have seen an uptick on the Chinese prices also. And last 6 months, our procurement has been balanced in terms of what we procured from Japan, from China, and from the domestic markets. We would have hardly done any substitution.
Okay, so there has been actually no change in sourcing arrangement. I mean,
no change. Yeah.
Okay, and when you say, sir, that you have already started witnessing the increasing or reversal in the pricing trend, this is across the generic or in some products, and you see that the probably the bottom for most of the product line is made?
Yeah, I think so. The bottom for most of the products is hit. So it's now only going to look up, is a feeling we have.
Okay.
Also, this,
so sir,
this is also coming out because of the global consumptions being in place.
So, sir, in that case, like how we were impacted negatively by the falling raw material prices, now when the prices are reversing and we must be in a preparation of solid Q2, we must be sitting on a huge inventory which we would have bought in month of maybe May, June, which would have been low cost inventory. Is there any fair amount of chances that now that we should be benefiting from the pricing gain, or the low cost inventory should help us in terms of gaining more market, or at least improving some margin in a subsequent quarter if the demand scenario in the industry remains robust, which you have just indicated?
We largely have an outlook on the demand scenario being positive, and we are looking forward to upgrading our margin by about 200 bits.
So for the full year, you are saying that we are looking at gross margin expansion by 200 bits?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And sir, in general, the prices still are lower on Y and Y, right? So compared to on a price-led decline, still will be there in our revenues. It will be only probably volume growth which will be having a positive impact, but the price impact still will be negative only for the full year basis, right?
So far it has been negative. Now Q2 consumption will decide the journey forward.
But yes, I think the full year, the price difference will be around 1.5% to 2% maybe. Yeah.
Okay, only percent to 2%. And sir, Rahul sir, what is yours? Bansal, you were saying something, sorry.
No. I'm done.
Okay. Rahul sir, just only one sense on the industry growth for the current year. I mean, definitely Q1 was bad, but that was for everybody. What is your sense for the industry growth in volume term for this year?
My forecast on this front has mostly gone wrong. So you really need that.
Sir, you are dealing with the farmers and the market in day in, day out. So your sense on that will be really helpful.
If agriculture is doing good, I think so. Everyone associated with agriculture will be doing good. And you can see this as a matter of trend in fertilizer consumption, in DAP consumption, in tractors movement, and also in agri import. So I think so, industry will witness a double digit growth.
Okay, Rahulji. So that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
In the end, I would like to thank all the participants for joining us today. We are looking forward to a great second quarter. Dhanuka is committed to transforming India through agriculture. Our purpose is to strengthen the nation by providing sustainable agricultural solutions and bring honor, pride and abundance for the farmer and farming. India ka pranam, har kisan ke naam. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.